Thanks for joining me for episode number 9 of Marooned, a Texas Tiki podcast. I hope you all are enjoying the music provided by my guest, Robert Hamilton, artist and drummer of the Texas exotica band, the Tiki Torches. With all the hustle and bustle of the holidays, we weren't able to meet in person, so we recorded this conversation over Skype. If you're digging the music, definitely buy their EP on iTunes. It's $2 for 2 great tracks. You can also stream it on Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Music, and most other major streaming services. I hope the Christmas season is treating y'all well, and that y'all have gotten all your shopping done. That way, all you'll have to do now is sit back, relax, and enjoy episode number 9 of Marooned, a Texas Tiki podcast. Okay, cool. So, have you heard the podcast before? I don't like to assume.
Absolutely. Yeah. As a matter of fact, on the one that you did with, I have two standouts that are my favorites. That would probably be the one you did with Russell, which was the first one.
Okay.
Which I had to send Russell a note after y'all did that because I had just met him for the first time, and so in May prior to that. So anyway. I already thought he was a character just from hanging out with him for one night.
And then, yeah,
he was cracking me up on your podcast, and then of course Jason's when you guys did the Boozy Doodler one, that was another.
Oh my god, man. Yeah, that episode we were already a few drinks in when we started recording.
Well, and that's the other thing too, is all of your the ones that you've done, like where it's in a bar setting and you're right there and you're having drinks with them. Man, I'm so jealous. That's what we have to do eventually. We got to get together and do that at some point with the whole band, because that would be a blast.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I would love to do that as well. But yes, we need to do one. I need to get to Dallas. I was actually talking to Jen from the Swizzle Luau. I've been talking to her for a while about doing one, so I want to do one with them as well. So maybe I can figure out a weekend where I can get up to Dallas and do a couple episodes.
I know we want to try to get to. We're still trying to get back into Lay Low. We just have never. Our schedules have just never worked out the times that Russell's had available, and then I'm also trying to get us down to. Man, there's just so many different. Tiki activities in Austin going on. It seems like, you know, every restaurant or
every bar
I mean, everybody's doing some type of tiki event, you know. So I'm hoping that at some point we can get back down there, and because you're in San Antonio, right?
Yeah. Man, we were supposed to be playing at Lay Low today, but it didn't work out. Our bass player, his girlfriend, is graduating college, so priorities, of course. Super disappointed, because they had asked us last time I was up there if we wanted to play, because they wanted to do something for the holidays, but they were like, well, we don't really want to just a DJ, so yeah. But they got
the thing that's tough for us is they like to do stuff on Sundays, which is very cool, but it's hard. One of our players just got a new job, and he can't it's a brand, you know, he's only been doing it for a month now, so it's hard for him to say, hey, I need Monday off so I can go play this gig in Houston Sunday night.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of rough, but anyway.
But yeah,
it'll
happen. Yeah, for sure. And you guys should come down to San Antonio. I mean, I know that's a stretch, and I definitely want to make sure that I get you something that's going to be worth your time, of course.
Man, love to do that. Yeah, that would be a ton of fun. I just discovered that Revenant gallery that Jason's showing his stuff in, and I've never even heard of that place. It's, man, they host some really cool stuff there. I've already kind of put a bug in that curator's ear, you know, about they ever need any kind of music there, you know,
or just even your art. Cause I mean, you do your art as well.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. So, but I'm kind of in the boat you're in, as far as you've got all these great plans that you want to, you know, you want to crank out a lot of podcasts. I'd love to be cranking out more art, but man, I've got two teenage girls, and life slows down real fast for that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. Like I said, it's priorities, man. Like it would be great if I could do a podcast full time, and I'm sure you'd love to do your artwork full time, but you know,
Yeah.
Life.
Yeah. That's how it goes.
But yeah, man, thanks for taking the time to talk to me. I haven't met you in person, so it's super cool to get to do this. I've been listening to your music for a while. I mean, I've seen you guys, of course, you guys have played at Lalo. You did the Mai Tai Manifest, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so at the Lalo, we had kind of our kickoff release party for the Mai Tai Manifesto, and that's a little book that the bassist and Jay Priceman and myself put together. He wrote all the and created all the recipes for all these cool cocktails, and I did all the illustrations for him, and we melded them all together in this little book, and we kicked it off there at the Lalo. So yeah, that was a blast, man. We had so much fun, and so yeah, we've been selling those at gigs, you know, instead of your typical T-shirt or that kind of thing that you might buy when you're at a gig. We're providing these Mai Tai Manifesto books, and then we also have these cool coffee mugs that again, Jay put together a little coffee/rum recipe that comes with the mug, and it's got our little logo on there and that kind of thing. But so yeah, it was a lot of fun. That was a great way to kick off that book for sure.
Yeah, that's super cool, man. I wish we could have made it out there. But like you're saying, man, just the events on Sundays, it's hard to make that 3-hour drive and try and get back and go to work the next day.
Totally understand. Yeah.
But so how'd you guys get started with the Tiki Torches?
So basically, I've been playing in a big swing band in Oklahoma in the casino circuit for a few years, and they had these cool little lounge stages over off to the side of the where they had the main acts, and they would always have these really cool kind of little three-piece jazz instrumentals. And so I would, during our breaks, I would always jump over there and go watch those little trios and stuff, and thought to myself, man, if this swing thing ever implodes and this gig goes away, I want to try to work out something like a little lounge act, you know, a throwback 60s or even early 70s lounge kind of thing, almost to the point of being comical in a way, but at the same time, you know, with some decent musicianship. So anyway, I put together a little 4-piece with a female lead singer, and it started off pretty good, but it kind of lost traction. The singer was had really young kids and just had a lot of family priorities, which is totally understood. And we just decided, you know what, let's cut the singing part of it, and let's just do some instrumental stuff and see where that goes. And Mike James, the guitarist, was the one that said, you know what we should do is do some kind of like a tiki thing, you know, or take it in that direction. And so I remember it vividly, sitting there at that practice. I had my laptop open, and we stumbled across Green Fire, which was an Ethel Azama tune. And it just, all three of us just looked at each other and said, this is it. This is the kind of music that we should be doing. And I'd heard the term exotica, but had not really, I knew I liked that kind of music, but I'd never really sat down and paid that much attention to it. But it just, like, the floodgates opened for us. It just was this is the kind of music that we should be trying to attempt, because it was so, just what it was. It was so exotic and so unusual for three guys that had been coming from, you know, Mike had been playing in blues bands. Jay played in some alt country kind of acts, and then myself, like I said, coming from rockabilly and swing. And so we just thought, oh my gosh, this is a cool, fun, interesting challenge. And so what we didn't realize is just how challenging it would be, because that music is so incredibly, it was done so well by, you know, true jazz artists, back in the day when it was invented, if you want to call it that. And so here you've got these four guys now here, you know, in Texas of all places, trying to do this with a guitar, and you know, it's very challenging, but at the same time, it's very fulfilling, because when we do strike a chord and we all get on the same page with a tune, it's the payoff is so much fun. I mean, we're actually enjoying the being up there doing that kind of thing, even though the people around us may be looking at us like, what is this? What are y'all playing? What is this? You know? And so we brought on Mike Kelly, I guess he's been with us now for a couple of years. He's a percussionist, but he also plays piano. So that's been really cool for us because he gives us that, more exotica feel by having the keys involved. But at the same time, he's a percussionist, which of course exotica is heavy on the percussion. So, he's been a great addition. And so, like I said, the four of us, when we get together and we attempt this stuff, it's even though, like I said, the challenge is great, the rewards are even greater. It's a lot of fun,
Yeah, no, I mean, I can certainly understand what you mean when you say getting those odd looks coming from playing in a surf band. I am no stranger to that. So you said it's been a couple of years. When did you guys start the band?
Yeah, we started, I guess, actually this November was 3 years, was our little 3-year birthday. So really not that long in the grand scheme of things. We've been making some pretty good progress in terms of playing some really fun shows, and just, again, you know, being able to get together pretty regularly, constantly, and attempting these tunes. Again, the building our sets though has taken us this long because the music itself is so, now of course we cover there's a lot of bands that have already done the hard homework, you know, so for instance, bands like Tiki Aki Orchestra, even the guy from the Cars, Elliot Easton, put together a band called Elliot Easton's Tiki Gods, and he's a phenomenal guitarist, obviously. I think the Cars are about to get inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But anyway, he did that little side project. So there's, and Kava Khan too, I'm sure you're familiar with them. They're a contemporary band too that have taken exotica and done some, you know, just poetic, beautiful stuff with it. And so we've kind of been riding on their coattails a little bit in terms of covering their music. But then we've also been trying some really unusual stuff. Like we've taken the Smiths, How Soon Is Now, and done an exotica / tiki version of it, if you could call it that. It's been a lot of fun trying to figure out how, you know, what songs to do, and then at the same time trying to develop our own stuff, you know, in terms of some our own instrumentals that we've come up with that are just so off the beaten path, you know, in terms of what we've done in the past.
Well, that's awesome. And you did Quiet Village on the EP. You also did Do You Hear What I Hear? So whose idea was the Christmas tunes?
Yeah, so that was Jay, the bass player, had that idea. We've been talking about trying to record an actual, you know, album, but we've been having problems figuring out, like, which songs do we really want to put to the wax, so to speak. So instead, Jay was the one that came up with the idea, you know what, we should just do a couple of Christmas tunes and let's get our feet wet with recording, in terms of, you know, the four of us had never recorded before. So let's try that with just these couple of tunes and see where that takes us. And so the response has been awesome because they're in that exotica feel, but they get a little bit of psychedelic in the middle, you know, and get truly exotic, you know, in terms of their, especially Do You Hear What I Hear? We kind of take a ride in the middle of it, which is a lot of fun. And then Quiet Christmas Village was totally Jay's idea again, where he said every time that we played that song, he could hear sleigh bells in the background in his head, you know?
And it sounds so appropriate when you hear the sleigh bells start in. I'm like,
Totally works.
It just flows so well. What I hear? It's great. I think that's one I probably listen to the most, just because, like, cool. You said that middle section, it gets really interesting, and I dig it a lot.
Thanks, man. That's awesome.
So as a percussionist, what was your approach to playing exotica, coming from swing to something that's, like you said, percussion based?
Sure. Well, that's the thing. You know, in the whole grand scheme of doing rockabilly or swing or any of those type of genres in this time period, within the last 20 years, which is about how long I've been messing around with this stuff, in the last 20 years, what's always been that constant factor is the tiki culture and you know, tiki and retro and all that fun stuff, they all go together. And so all those things mix and merge together in different ways. So to be honest with you, for me personally, it wasn't a huge jump to go from rockabilly or swing to this tiki stuff. But in terms of playing, it's been really, really weird to, so for instance, I don't use a snare. I mean, I have a snare drum, but I have the snares turned off the entire time. So instead of having that constant rhythm of a snare, even which, you know, even in surf bands, I mean, obviously the snare plays a huge role, but
yep,
in this kind of music, the snare is turned off, or in the way that we're doing it. And so it's really hard to draw any kind of parallel between musically between what we're doing now and things of the past, like blues or jump blues, which is really what we were doing in that swing band, or you know, country or that kind of thing. It's forced me to become a percussionist when I always just said I was a drummer. So now I really feel like I'm more of a, you know, more of a percussionist, even though some of the songs that we do are, you know, just typical drum, or I guess I could call myself a drummer, but most of the time I feel like I'm a percussionist because I'm putting down an instrument, picking up another. And so one song, I might use five instruments, you know, and that makes a big difference.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Versus just playing, you know, traditional kit or
right.
Maybe floor tom, bass drum, and snare. That's it. Yeah. A couple cymbals.
yeah, exactly.
So what else do you guys have in your lineup? I mean, or your repertoire? Of course, you do some covers. You do some Les Baxter. There we go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you said you have some originals as well. There anything more exotic? Or are you doing like Tikiyaki some surf stuff?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, so for instance, we were kind of laughing earlier about how, even in a surf band scenario, how sometimes you'll be playing in front of people that may not be very hip to what you're doing, and their faces, you know, you can just see it in their face. They're just not sure what's going on. So we do have a couple of, you know, quote unquote classics that we've slipped in. So for instance, we do Sleepwalk, and okay, we do a cool version of Our Day Will Come. And so most people will recognize that, da, 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 da. You know, Our Day Will Come. They'll recognize that thing and they'll, okay, this is cool. Yeah, I can get into this. And we'll kind of, you know, kind of lead them along with those. And then all of a sudden we slip in something, you know, like Miserlou, you know, which again is a pretty popular tune, in terms of, you know, people recognizing that melody. But again, Miserlou and Quiet Village and, even Yellowbird are, you know, we are trying to take as exotic as we can possibly take them within our playing abilities and the instruments in front of us. So yeah, I would say for the most part, we try to be as true to the sound as we can be, but we also recognize that we don't want to torture the newbies, you know, that are not familiar with that by just banging their heads with, you know, something that they can't wrap their heads around. So we'll do things like, you know, or Poinciana, for instance, which is an old classic, you know, things like that. But, and then as far as our originals, we've got, they're pretty much, all percussion based at this point. Everybody's got something they've been working on their own. But as far as what we play out live, our originals are all just kind of percussion based, like the guitar, both Jay and Mike put their instruments down and only play like percussion. It's a lot of fun. All four of us are banging the drums all at the same time. It's really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, I mean, it sounds like you're finding ways to make something that for lack of a better term, for most people is probably unapproachable. It's trying to find that balance. Where can you lead them in? How can you familiarize them with this style of music in your set, no matter how how long or how short that may be? And
Right. Yeah. Well, and thankfully when we're most of the places that we've played so far in our short history, 90% of the time we're in kind of the crowd that's there is already pretty hip to what's happening. And so, you know, so when we do things like the Fort Worth had a Texas, or I'm sorry, a Tiki Week event And so most people there are ready to drink rum, and they see four guys standing there with matching, you know, Aloha shirts, and they know they're in for something that has to do with, you know, bongos and
yeah,
and, you know, and that kind of thing. So for 90% of the time, it's not too much of a shocker. However, there's times like today. We played this morning. We did a gig out at the local mall. And so you can imagine people go in there shopping for shoes and last minute Christmas gifts, see these four guys set up on this big stage playing, you know, jungle drums and Girl from Ipanema, you know, and they're like, they're just, you know, their faces are priceless because it's would very much stand out, you know, in terms of what you would typically see at a mall in Lewisville, Texas. You
know? Yeah, no, I can certainly imagine, but I... Once you threw the Christmas songs in there, I'm sure people are a little more receptive. See, but I always enjoyed those types of things. Like, we've played, like, art galleries, things like that.
Yeah.
Things where you know you're going to have turnover in terms of your audience. So you can stretch your set out, play. Maybe one of the songs will get played a couple times, maybe a few times. Because, you know, the people who heard it the first time, odds are they're not going to be there the second or third time you may throw that in there. So I've always kind of liked those gigs just because you can – it gives you a little more breathing room. I guess you could say with what
it's
you're.
Funny. It's funny you say that. We cover it's a song by the Blue Hawaiians called Martini 5-0, and it's basically Hawaii 5-0 just slowed down, really really slow, but it's done really well. Those guys, I'm assuming they originally wrote it, and it's a really cool song. But anyway, we cover that one, and Mike James, the guitarist, is the exact same way. we'll play that song, and if he didn't nail it on the second or third set, he'll. He'll just turn around and I'll call the song out and he'll say, no, we're doing Martini 5-0 again. You
know? Yeah, exactly. It's a do-over. You get a mulligan with those types of things.
Exactly. There you go.
So that's how long have you been playing drums?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, it's funny. I sat in. There's a show here in town that's been going for, gosh, I want to say about 30 years now over on an FM station. We have a community radio station in Dallas called KNON, and they have a show that's been going weekly for the last 30 years called the Rockabilly Review. And I just sat in with the DJ there and played. I felt really old, but I played all rockabilly from the 90s, but it was all Dallas bands. So the songs had to be over 20 years old. So a couple of tunes I played were tunes that I played drums on, you know. So I started off as a punk drummer in college, you know, because I didn't really know how to play that well. So I called myself punk rock, you know, because I was so bad. And then moved into rockabilly. I played drums for Kim Lins for a while. And then,
awesome.
Yeah. And then the rockabilly thing. Rockabilly thing turned into country, and the country thing turned back into rockabilly for a while. And then I got hooked up with that Jump Blues band doing swing and that kind of thing. And that was a lot of fun, and did that for about 8 or 9 years. That band lasted for a while and then took a break. And then this tiki thing kind of popped up, and this has been by far the most challenging, but also sometimes the most rewarding, you know? So it's been a lot of fun. I have a lot of friends that have played a lot longer than I have, but yeah, I've been loading up and carting my drums around now for 20 plus years now, so it's been crazy.
Well, that's super cool. That's awesome that you played with Kim Lenz. She's great. She's a great songwriter.
Yeah, that was back in the day when she first started. We were that was the very first record. We went to California and recorded it and came back and toured with her for a while, and I got to see some really cool parts of the country that I would have not been able to see without playing for her. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's super cool. So sounds like you've been hooked up into the music scene for quite a while.
A little bit.
So are you originally from Texas?
Yeah, just right here over in East Dallas. I went to school at North Texas, and my wife and I moved back here just pretty much 20 minutes south of Denton of North Texas. And like I said, I've been raising my teenage daughters here for the last 16 years, so it's been pretty good.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Sounds like you got a good thing going there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's super cool. So, I mean, I know you have your you have some songs on SoundCloud for the Tiki Torches.
Yeah.
You just put out the 2-track EP, which I highly recommend everybody go buy today. It's a couple bucks.
Cool.
iTunes. Get it. You can stream it. Apple Music. Stream it. Spotify. You know. Go buy it. There's no reason not to.
Yeah.
We're in the Christmas holidays. Treat yourself. You've been
That's
buying
right.
gifts for everybody else. Treat yourself with a couple bucks to listen to some really awesome Exotica while you drink and listen to this episode. But beyond what you guys currently have recorded, you have some live recordings and what you just did, of course. What's next?
I think probably for 2018, we've been talking about a couple of things. Been doing or talking lately about doing a collaboration with there's a group in Dallas called the Vintage Cocktail Hour. They're a burlesque group that I think they meet once. They do shows, I think, monthly. But anyway, they've got a pretty smoking professional outfit or delivery that they've got going on that they do in Dallas. I'd like to somehow incorporate the torches with some of my art, maybe some set building and that kind of thing with the Vintage Cocktail Hour. So that's something that's kind of, we're just talking about right now, but something I'd like to make happen in 2018. Then of course, we'll probably headline the Lava Luau again in Carrollton, which was a lot of fun. We've done that the last 2 years. That's a big outdoor event in the middle of my hometown here in Carrollton. We kind of just take over the town square for a day and turn it Hawaiian / tiki as much as we can, and have a lot of cool music and some awesome hula dancers come out for us. It's a lot of fun. We'll do that again this summer. And then, like I said, if I can twist Russell's arm into getting us back into Lalo, and then there's a couple of places in Austin too that I've been talking to the guys over at Deep Eddy. I guess it's called Deep Eddy Records hosts some kind of surf, I want to say a third Saturday of the month or something. They do some kind of surf.
Oh, second Saturday surf.
Event. Second Saturday surf. Okay. Yeah. And I've been talking to Ted over there with his group and seeing about maybe squeezing in the torches for something like that, just in terms of just something slightly different, and you know, just to get us into that a little more of that Austin market, so to speak. So
yeah, that's it.
But besides, you know, we're just trying to, you know, keep writing, keep developing some new tunes and building up a strong third set, and you know, just trying to get the Exotica stuff out there.
Yeah, that's awesome. They do the second Saturday surf at Nomad Bar in Austin. It's real cool. We've played out there a few times. I think you'd dig it.
Cool. Yeah. It'd just be a lot of fun to get on a fun bill with some other cool bands, you know, and do a night out there.
Yeah, no, definitely. So in terms of the Christmas EP, I love the artwork. Was that your art?
Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah. That was, again, our bass player kind of directed me on that in terms of I had drawn initially a big tiki, form sitting in the snow with a giant Santa hat on, you know, and he was like, no, that's not, I don't see that. That's not a quiet Christmas village. I need like a little hut with a bunch of snow on it. So I went back to the drawing board and came up with that. But then I snuck in my tiki over there on the far right that looks like a little snowman tiki, you know?
Well, it's awesome. Like, dude, seriously, that's a great cover. It fits the tracks perfectly. I love it.
Ooh. Oh, thanks. That's awesome.
So, what would you define your style as, or how would you describe your artwork?
And that's a good question. As long as I've been, you know, playing music or drawing and painting, that kind of thing, I find myself changing, you know, I think I'm into something and then all of a sudden it completely changes. So for instance, I think tattoo culture and tattoo artwork has always been a part of my, most of my creating, but, sometimes I try to get off the beaten path just a little bit. And so, you know, I'll do things that aren't quite tattoo related. So I do enjoy making things that are tiki-esque, But I'm still really kind of learning, even though I've been around it and been exposed to it for a long time. There's still a lot of, so for instance, guys like Jay Brooks and Jason, the Boozy Doodler's Velvet paintings, for instance, it's hard to tell that that guy just did those maybe like last year. When you look at, you know, you might think that they're from the 60s or something, you know. And Jay's carvings, I feel like came over from an island somewhere. It's hard to believe that, that, you know, that's happening right here in Texas, you know. So I don't really feel like I'm on the plane with those guys, but I think it's, I like to try to, you know, test the waters and try to see how they're doing things in terms. So I like to try to do things that are close to what they're doing, but I'm kind of getting off the, I'm getting off track here. All of a sudden Jay and Jason both popped in my head, and that's bad because now I'm thinking about their artwork. So I guess my style really, if I had to pick one thing, it would be close to you know, any kind of tattoo style, especially traditional tattoo artwork, is what I always go to. But when I really am trying to push myself and get away and go another route, I do try to do some tiki stuff and or I love paper mache. So I've been using a lot of paper mache over the last couple of years and building some three-dimensional things.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's been a lot of fun. But man, that's hard. It's hard to say exactly what my quote unquote style would be, or I have a few favorite mediums, but you know, that's about it. I guess what I could say is I definitely don't like to sit and paint, you know, naturescapes. I would much rather paint, you know, a cool, you know, pinup girl hanging off of an anchor. I would like to do that more than I would like to paint.
So a little less Bob Ross.
Yeah. Now I appreciate Bob Ross. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate the guy.
But you're not. I guess instead of painting happy little trees, you're painting happy little tikis and happy little cocktails.
Something like that. Exactly. Yeah. I seem to enjoy that a little bit more. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Well, I mean, looking at your artwork, having been binging your Instagram for the last couple days to, familiarize myself, My Time Manifesto, you definitely, it's got the traditional like tattoo flash feel, which I love. That's not it, you see it all the time, but you don't see it, sometimes you don't see it done as well, which yours is. The cover for My Time Manifesto is great.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, your artwork's killer. I've been scrolling through your Instagram. You have one Texas piece, the Home Sweet Home, which I love. That
Oh, cool.
That piece is real sick. So
yeah, over the last year, I started going back into my archives and finding really old pieces and posting those on Instagram. They were done, you know, obviously before Instagram was around. And so yeah, it's been fun going back and looking through really old stuff and then posting that on here. And people going, oh man, you know, I remember that. I remember, you know, 15 years ago when you had painted that. It's cool to get that feedback.
That's awesome. And speaking of the paper mache, you have a raffle going on right now, right?
Oh yeah. So I you know, I'm kind of like a cat that sees a shiny object and just grabs onto it. And so I saw somebody had posted on my Facebook feed or something somewhere, and I want to say it's Germany or I don't know, it was somewhere overseas. This Krampus walk, and it was, and I didn't even know what Krampus, I had never even heard the term Krampus. And so I was watching, and these huge beasts walking down this alley together, and they were beating on these drums. And I was like, oh my God, I've never shown it to my wife. Like, look at this, man. What, you know, of course she looked at me like I was out of my mind, which she typically does when I go, look at this. So I said, dude, I am totally going to build a Krampus monster mask or something, you know? And so, it just so turns out that when I started Googling Krampus, there's a Krampus society here in Dallas, as it turns out. So I messaged them and said, hey, are you guys involved in any kind of activities or what is this? I want to learn more. Oh, as a matter of fact, we've got a walk that's coming up. So I was like, oh man, I immediately started paper macheing and built that crazy mask. It's actually got a clay face. But all the guts and everything are paper mache. And so, yeah, I built that and went and did did the walk, which was a hoot, and it was funny walking around in that gigantic mask. So now I'm trying to I'm attempting to raffle it off, and so somebody, a lucky winner will win that thing. I think I'm going to do that. The raffle is actually next Thursday at the Industry Alley in Dallas, and so that should be a hoot to see where that thing ends up. But that's a lot of fun too, creating things and just kind of letting them go and seeing how, when they grow legs and see where they go, you know.
Well, that's super cool. Are you working on anything in particular right now, or are you
just... Yeah, I've got a couple little things. So I mentioned earlier that I was trying to get working with that burlesque troupe about, you know, trying to merge the band and dancing together in some type of performance. And I'd like to build the set for that. And so I'm super excited about building a jungle / tiki / native set that all of this can take place in front of. So that'll be a big thing that I'm a part of this year in terms of making art. And then I've got a couple of small things that I'm constantly working on. I've been doing these female portraits and painting tattoos on them, which really isn't, there's nothing really new about that concept. But for me personally, it's been a lot of fun just doing these single color line tattoos on these portraits of girls that are females that are, they don't look like they would typically have tattoos on them. So that's been kind of a fun ongoing thing that I've been doing for the last year and a half. I'm probably up to about 14 or 15 pieces. I have no idea where I'm going to show them, or I have them kind of shown on my website, but eventually I'd like to do a show or something, you know, somewhere.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah. At some point.
Yeah.
So yeah, painting and paper mache, I'll probably still keep doing that stuff for 2018 for sure.
Well, that's cool. Do you have anything else you're working on or anything else you'd like to promote?
No, that's pretty much it. Like I said, the torches are going to, we've got some stuff kind of lined up for 2018 that we're looking forward to. We've got, I can't say for sure that we'll record this year. We'll probably actually record a few tunes this year. I don't know if we'll do enough to do an entire album, but we'll definitely stay busy with that. We will also, like I said, keep building up those sets. And then hopefully playing some really cool shows. And then artistically, I hope that I'm able to, come through with the set building I was talking about earlier. And again, the Lava Luau is kind of a pet project of mine that I do, like I said, here in Carrollton. It's thelavaluau.com. And it's a lot of fun. It's very family oriented, very, it's in the city square. So unfortunately we can't have, you know, I would love to have rum and drinks available for everybody, you know, but that when you start selling alcohol, that changes everything here in Texas in terms of how you have an event set up. So I'm not quite there yet, but anyway, it's a lot of fun in terms of, it's a family event. Like I said, we have music and there's vendors and hoping to have a small car show involved with it this year, with some really cool, like, dune buggies or Volkswagens or some, you know, beach esque vehicles, you know?
Yeah.
That's another thing I would like to make happen this year too. So yeah, the torches, Lava Luau artwork, all fun stuff lined up for 2018. For sure.
That's super cool, man. Well, it sounds like you got a ton to keep you busy. I mean, any other shows you have coming up? Anything you have booked for the torches?
Yeah, we've got one more show this year. It looks like it's going to happen at the Industry Alley in Dallas. And that you mentioned Jen earlier. Jen Tonic and Marty, her husband, are the masterminds behind the Swizzle Luau Lounge, and they put on awesome events. They did the flea market twice this year, which we played, and they had the Boozy Doodler at their first one, which was a lot of fun. That's the first time I met Jason.
He is a character, so, to say the very least.
yeah, that was a blast. That he made that gig even more fun than it already was. But anyway, yeah, they're hosting a New Year's Eve party, and it looks like we'll be doing that with we'll be sharing entertainment duties with DJ Dr. Scotch who is a longtime Texas rockabilly, tiki, swing guy that's been here for a while, and he plays really cool exotica and tiki music, and so we're going to do a night with him, it sounds like, at Industry Alley on New Year's Eve, so that should be a lot of fun.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, we, like I said, yeah. I need to get up there to Dallas, go to one of those Swizzle Luau events, because...
Yeah, you do. They're fun. They're fun.
I'll keep me posted for when you guys are going to do another one. I don't know that we can do New Year's Eve, but let me know. Keep me in the loop for when you may do another one, because I want to come check it out and drink some rum up there with you North Texas folk.
And vice versa. Yeah, and vice versa. We got to get – when we get down there, we need to hook up and do a – I want to introduce you to the guys and do a little podcast with them. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Drink some rum and, you know, talk to the band.
Love it. Love it.
Well, dude, thank you again so much for taking time out of your day. I know, sure. I'm sure you're exhausted. You played your set earlier in the mall. And
No problem.
Yeah, man. But again, thank you again for the songs. Thank you for doing what you're doing for Texas Exotica, Texotica.
Right back at you.
And keep it up, and we'll talk real soon. And until next time, Akole Maluna, y'all. Well, that's all I've got for this episode. But before I go, I just want to say thank you to all my guests from this year, along with all the people that have participated in these episodes. And most of all, you, the listeners who have hopefully enjoyed all our rambling. And of course, to my sponsors at Rat Rods and Pinups and Aloha Texas Tiki Company. This podcast wouldn't exist without all y'all, and it's been a blast getting to share it. My plan for the new year is to get back on the road to bring you new guests and new episodes. And if you've enjoyed these 9 episodes, hopefully you'll consider leaving me a review on Apple Podcasts. I really hope you all have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. So until next time, Malakaliki Maka and Akole Maluna, y'all.